The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of it, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, this is all yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him up to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from there. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. It is good to be with you, and I want to thank you for your warm welcome. So, Deuteronomy tells us that we enter worship with an act of remembrance and an act of gratitude. So I'm driving in the South Bronx along the Major Deegan Expressway past my cathedral, Yankee Stadium, and at a stoplight at Fordham Road, there was someone there to do my window and ask for money. A young man, very young, homeless. I was wearing a white clerical collar, and he saw my collar, and he came around to the window and said, "Father, I ought to be giving you money." I said, "Yes." He got a clean rag out, wiped my window again, and came around and said, "Father, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God bless you, Father." That was a liturgy on the streets of the city. I pulled over, got out. "So tell me about yourself." And he did. He told me about the weight of a young black life in that neighborhood, where the vision in the budget for that community spent more money per child on jail than on education. He also talked about his own choices, about his demons, and he was living on the street. "What gives you hope?" I asked him. And he told me. He told me about his grandma who took him to a river in North Carolina where he was baptized. "That gives me hope." And it just struck me that everything which had crushed this child of God, his heart still sprung out in hope at a small piece of plastic, a small sign of the church, the hem of the garment where it could be touched. A remembrance, his grandma, and generosity in the Bronx. When you worship in the town of Bushasha, Tanzania, that was our companion diocese in the Metro New York Synod. We started a school there, and my first two grandchildren were born there. My son and daughter-in-law taught there. Bushasha was a place near the Uganda border, very, very the ground was not fertile. So give us this day our daily bread. Prayer was existential. It's in front of you if you're going to eat. We were there to worship with the people, and the drums were beating our welcome before we could even see the place. And we walked through a path and into a clearing, and they were singing and dancing and welcoming us with such generosity. The church had been bombed in the war with Idi Amin. This was near the Uganda border. They hadn't been able to afford to rebuild it, so they worshiped outside under a tree, like they did every Lord's Day. They told us that they saved their food for weeks to give us a feast. But they also told the rest of the village, and many people who were even more poor, that everyone would eat that day. They used our hospitality to feed the whole village. In Deuteronomy, it says, when you come into the place where the Lord says, I will put my name, remember your story and leave the first fruits of the land. The connection between the old story, our story, the Jesus story, the story of the deliverance of the children of Israel, the story of a wandering Aramean, that's Grandpa Abraham and Grandma Sarah. Our grandparents in the faith were economic migrants. He said, remember, you once were aliens in the land. And remember that the Lord delivered you. And so as the people in Bushasha brought what they could, everyone brought something. It might be an egg. It might be sugar cane. It might be a bunch of bananas. But they all came and put it on the altar. And then in the act of remembrance, almost, Cecil B. DeMille could have filmed this, almost as I was saying, do this in remembrance of me, people started coming down into the clearing, people who knew they would eat this day. And our generous God fed all of us that day. So a child of God in the South Bronx talks about his grandma and how the faith was given to him. We're told to remember that when we come to worship. So who touched you? I was sung love songs by my grandma and my mother, songs of Jesus. And it is something to hear my granddaughter crying in the middle of the night and my own son walking her singing the same songs we sang to him. We all have been given the gift of a story, an identity in Christ. And so I was fishing with my grandpa one day. It's 10 years old, 9 or 10. Bobber's sitting up there, and he just looks at me. He was a Missouri Synod pastor, and he said to me, Stephen, the only death you ever have to be afraid of is already behind you in your baptism, and he went on fishing. What do you do with that? But he planted something in me about my story, about life. So Jesus took into the wilderness the same things we bring here to worship, and the same things that we bring to our own wilderness, our own times of temptation, our own little ground zeros. What did Jesus bring? Well, in chapter 3 of Luke, our lessons from chapter 4, you have this genealogy, and so-and-so begat so-and-so until you finally get to Jesus. It's sort of ancestors.com. So what he brought was his identity. We bring that, our story, our life, our family, our kin, our blood. We are somebody in the world. We bring that with us. Second thing he brought to the wilderness of temptation was he had just been baptized in the Jordan. And he had heard his Father. He had heard our Creator, God, tell him, "You are my beloved." And he took that into the wilderness. I think there were a lot of temptations. First of all, he was alone. Do you ever feel sometimes that you are? That you're just not connected? He was tired. Does it ever seem like just too much? 40 days, he hadn't eaten. Life can get that way. And his identity was questioned. If you are the Son of God, and his integrity was questioned as a Son of God, and he brought with him what we have. The devil even tried to use the holy word of God to subvert him. We have God's word, our identity, the songs of our grandmas, our life, and our baptism. And we bring that to ground zero. We saw the towers fall. The towers were our backyard. My office was on the 18th floor of the Interchurch Center on Riverside Drive. You could just see right down there. To the right was the Hudson River and the Palisades. Right down there was our backyard. We saw the towers fall. Our time of temptation and wilderness came, but I want you to think about your own, for we all live our little ground zeros every day. And I confess to you that when I was asked to pray for hundreds of people in the chapel there at high noon, I didn't know what to say. So I simply said by heart the 23rd Psalm, and then I just encouraged people, name the names as our prayer of those downtown and you don't know where they are. And to hear those names come at me through choked voices, and to name my wife's name and my daughter's name, I didn't know until late that night that they were okay, was to realize that everything we can have in this world doesn't mean anything when there's nothing to hold on to but the songs of our grandparents, that we are God's beloved. The next day I was at ground zero. I wore my collar. I didn't want to be there. I was afraid. I thought I'd be in the way. I thought I'd be beside the point. But people kept coming up. "Father, can I tell you what I saw? Father, will you pray for me? Father, where the is God?" And staring into that obscene pile with the faces of people I knew were already buried. What my grandfather said to me at 9 o'clock, at 9 years old, came to me as a gift. We're all buried already. Do you not know that you've been buried with Christ by baptism unto death? So that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. In the midst of the temptation, of the wilderness, of hell on earth, God, Jesus, were there. With the same things that Jesus had in the wilderness, our baptism, our identity as God's beloved, and a spirit of generosity that you know swept the nation and the world. One of our chaplains was a firefighter chaplain, one of our pastors, and he ran across the Brooklyn Bridge to be with the firefighters as they entered. He brought his oil and was asked to anoint those who wanted that remembrance of their baptism with oil as they rushed into the smoky towers. People who escaped remembered those brave, glistening foreheads on the smoky stairways. One of our members was on the 50th floor in a wheelchair, and people came back such generosity in the wilderness and carried her all the way to safety. And as those brave rescuers went up and down, it was Jacob's ladder with angels ascending and descending. This is what we bring. The only death we have to be afraid of is behind us in our baptism. This Lenten journey is a journey, yes, to the cross, but our God stands by an empty tomb. It is also a journey to life. I still remember sharing communion with my grandma, who sang me Jesus songs. I was the oldest grandchild, so I was her favorite. And I would milk it like you wouldn't believe. It was in the Altenheim, the old people's home, and I was afraid she had forgotten me. She kind of looked up and said, "I think you belong to me." And then she called out my name, a holy act of remembrance. "Grandma, the body of Christ for you. Grandma, the blood of Christ for you." And she said, "Thank you for remembering me." So, beloved, come to the altar. Whatever wilderness you're in, whatever time of testing, you're not alone. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him as he faced his temptation. He had his identity as God's beloved. And this altar is going to be crowded. My grandma's going to be here. And my friend from the South Bronx. And those who've sang to you and shared with you the old, old story and helped put faith in your hearts, they're all going to be here. We say it, don't we? With angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in every time and every place. God is with us. We are God's beloved.